Okay, Rabosai, sorry I'm a little delayed today, but, let me get this going. Okay, so once again, we are in Siman Lamed Beis, and we'll be on page 86. Give me a minute here. A few people want to join in. Question? Okay, once again, we're on page 86, and Meretz Hashem will be on the top line, Yud. So, yesterday we discussed the wide-ranging. Again, here we had a specific case of if a non-Jew was involved with curing the hides for the parchment of the tefillin, would that be good or not good? So we saw Machlokas between the Rambam, who says it would not be good, and the Rush, who said it would be good, and we discussed that and its implications, not just by tefillin parchment, but by a lot of other things also. So that brings us to Yud. Again, top line, page 86. Kishmesanim nekavim b'martzea ke'en osios. So what they used to do with the parchment, in other words, you want to make sure that nothing was switched, or again, if you have goyim helping you, maybe again you're doing it, but again, maybe they'll switch it out. You know, well, we see worries about that. So they used to make a sign, a symbol, with little with holes, and they used to use a pick, and they used to make little holes. Now, believe it or not, they do this when they have to send a get somewhere. Right? Let's say the husband's one place and the wife is in another place. So today we send it by mail. But still, how do we know that the get that is being received was the get that was written? So they make three little holes with a needle, and on a certain place, and then they write in the document, there is these three holes above this letter on this line, and this way you know. So the again, that's as far as Gittin are concerned. But again, they used to do it in this case also to make ensure that, again, the parchment we're doing a lot of work on, and maybe one of the workers got in and swapped it out. How do you know? So they used to make these little characters, or whatever you want to call them. So the Machaber says, "Afal pishe v'nekalai nu Yehuda l'zayif ein choshen." Even though the goy maybe could figure that out, right? Oh, the Jews, they make, I don't know, whatever, you know, again, I'm using the example by a get, they make a triangle, three little holes. So even though, goy could figure that out and maybe counterfeit it, copy it, still, we're not worried about that. Mishum de mirsas ha'ino Yehudi penyaki yisro b'tviya sign. Because there's another factor. It's not just those little notches that they make, little holes that they make, but also this is a famous thing. There is a mirsas. Mirsas means a fear. In other words, in this case, the Machaber is explaining that the non-Jew, besides the code or whatever you want to call it, the sign that they put on the parchment, but also there's a fear of the goy that the Jew might recognize, tfias ayin, might be able to recognize the parchment. And so if they swap it out, okay, maybe we could duplicate, forge the symbol, but you know, the Jew might recognize that it's not the same thing. That's very interesting because Chazal talk about it, that a Talmid Chacham has more of a tfias ayin, is able to recognize things and discern between one thing and another. And therefore, in certain cases, he's more believed because he remembers these little details. So again, I assume somebody's making, I don't know if he's a Talmid Chacham, but he's somebody special, somebody who's making the cloth. And therefore, I can understand that maybe the goy would be afraid that, this is special. Now, again, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that they used to sometimes write things and things like that. But again, evidently, again, we can understand why they would want to make sure that there is no swap of this parchment. So, Yurab, Orsha Avdu Shalo Lishma. Let's say, again, what we began discussing yesterday is, as we see by many aspects of any mitzvah, is it has to be done lishma, for the sake of whatever it is. So in this case, the person has to cure the hides with the intention that it's for tefillin. Let's say that was the idea. Or a Sefer Torah, at least. Or at the high end, in other words, if I had Sefer Torah, something for sure, be okay for tefillin. But we saw that before, I think. But let's say they cured the hide and they did not have any intent. So now that doesn't sound so good. So im yesh tikon lachs or la avdol ishmo. So can I take that hide that's already been cured and re-cure it? Cure it again. So in other words, and then the second time I cure it, I will have in mind that's lishma. So in other words, do you get a makeover? In other words, do we say, no, it's already, the ship has sailed? Or do we say, no, because the hide, you're going to redo it, so that time number two would have cured the hide, and that was the only shema. So the Mechaber says something very interesting. Yisbar betur yoradei simin reish ayin aleph. So look over there in yoradei reish ayin aleph. So over there, the shach holds that you could go back and fix it. You could redo it. Now again, you have to realize that we're talking about a big deal because, you know, hides and to cure them, you know, it's a big thing. To throw it out would be a big loss. So therefore, again, the shach holds over there that you could redo it. Okay, yud beis, very important. Me'or behema chayav of ha-tahorim. The cloth is made out of the hide of a behema chayav. You know the difference between behema and chayav. Behema is a domesticated animal. Chayav is a wild animal. Or a bird, ha-tahorim, which are tahor, which are kosher species. But then the Mechaber says, "Va'afilu nevelo treifa shalhem," and even if it's a nevelo or a treifa of these animals. So, in other words, you know, again, we use that. I mentioned this in school that we use the word treif, you know, for anything, just like a generic term for anything that's not kosher. But technically, a nevela is an animal that died non-kosher shechita death. I don't know, just died of natural causes or whatever, you know, that it was shot, it was electrocuted, whatever. A treifa is, we shechted it properly, again, one of these kosher species of animals, but there's something physically wrong with it. Oh, that's a whole discussion. But there's something halachically amiss with it. Lungs are messed up, or part of the lung, adhesions, a whole bunch of things. So even if the animal is an avelo or a trefa, it would still be okay. So in other words, it has to be a kosher species of an animal, it has to be a kosher species. But let's say there is, a non-kosher slaughterhouse, and they're slaughtering all these bulls or cows or whatever. So they're not slaughtering it according to halacha. But again, we would be allowed to buy the hide of those animals from that place and make it into cloth for tefillin. We would be allowed to do that. Again, as long as it's a kosher species of animal. But anything from a non-kosher animal, pig, I don't know, why you might use pigskin. Yeah, exactly. So, or eagle skin, or I don't know, whatever, right? Whatever you think of, leopard skin, right? Lion skin. So that would be no good. Why? So the Machaber explains the Ksiv, because the pasuk, right? The Ksiv, Mantia Torah Hashem Beficha, that it has to, that the Torah says, it should be the Torah of Hashem in your mouth. So simply what that means is that, you know, we're fluent in Torah, we're constantly conversing in Torah, so on and so forth. But therefore, because I'll learn out from that, Mimina Mutar L'Picha, that it has to be something that is mutter, that is allowed to go into your mouth. And again, this is a famous Drash of Chazal, so therefore, it has to be from a kosher species of animal. And then the Machaber continues, V'lo me'or dag, afil utar. But you can't use fish skin, even from a kosher fish. I don't know, it's very interesting because my wife serves salmon, and sometimes if you like slightly overcook it, even the skin is, you need a knife to cut through it. So, you know.
Could you write on it?
I don't know. I've never tried it. But, you know, I don't know. Don't write on a gefilte fish. That won't work. But anyway. So even if it's kosher fish, leviathan hide. So can't use that for a tefillin. Why? Mishum the nafesh zuhuma, because it smells. It deteriorates, right? And it's right. We know fish smells, right? Very pretty quickly.
Is that what the curing tanning process does? That it preserves the skin so that it doesn't deteriorate and smell?
Well, with hides, from what I understand, is there's a different issue. That is, if you don't process the hide. So then it will get hard. And a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, could you, let's say, again, you shechted an animal on Yontif, right? You could shechted on Yontif as long as it's not Shabbos. So, but you could put the hide out in Rosh Hashanah so people walk on it. But I can't cure it on Yontif, right? So it seems that from that Gemara that unless you do something pretty quick, it will be unusable. I mean, I don't know, it'll become hard. So you put salt on it and other things.
After a certain time, it can't be cured?
I don't know. I don't know. In other words, let's say it's an old hide, it's a few days old and so on. I don't know. I would think maybe not. Because that's, again, that's you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to throw it out on the street so people walk on it and keep it supple until you could have a chance after Yontif to cure it. So,
but if you did cure it, would it start to smell?
I don't know.
Carcass for sure will smell. But
that's because of the meat. That's because of the meat and other things. I don't know. Okay. So therefore, you should not use fish skin. Don't use fish skin. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and B'li Nedar, Mirz Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow.